Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear from Kara Hart as well. Coronavirus fears continue to weigh heavily on these markets, with the grain and livestock markets lower. The outside markets are pretty much the driving factor here. The Dow currently trading down about 1,600 points. Crude oil's down $1.85 a barrel, while the dollar index is up over 100 points. Gold is trading down $49 an ounce as well. Utterback Marketing President Bob Utterback says uncertainty remains the biggest fear here for grain traders.
The uncertainty of how long is the virus like flu, has flu-like symptoms, but is it going to have, and it does stay around outside the human body for a little longer than flu viruses, but is it going to die out as spring comes on, as normally what we got associated with flu? That's going to be the real, I'd say about the first, second week of April, it's going to be imperative that we start seeing fewer and fewer cases coming out. And that's where the game, so we're in a kind of a holding pattern here for the next 2 to 3 weeks.
And Utterback says this is a very irrational market right now.
If you think the market is over-panicked, which I've felt that for the last week here, but the only way I would counsel you go in this market, you go in with a definitive game plan, I think a long in-the-money call and on a serious bouncy sell call, and just try to get a piece of it. Don't try to get the whole enchilada, because if we do continue to panic, there's some pretty negative downside territory where the funds could push for 2 to 3 those markets. The market can maintain an irrational attitude longer than most of the time our bank accounts can handle.
INTL FC Stone Market Analyst Philip Clausen said fear and panic over coronavirus just continues across these markets.
Our little world here on the grain side actually seems relatively calm and subdued relative to what's going on around us. So, and we're a little more accustomed to volatility in our realm, but certainly seeing some downside volatility in the livestock markets today with hogs, live cattle, feeder cattle, all lock limit down. But the grain market kind of holding in here, obviously certainly softer, but kind of holding together while everything else still seems to be in free fall.
And Clausen says the sell-off and the panic in the outside market is driving everything lower.
Yeah, certainly seeing that, on the precious metals, even the cryptocurrencies, the bitcoins, I think a lot of times people, you try to think of that as possibly, a hedge or, something to help in these times. But when it's this aggressive and this volatile, you've also got things, margin calls and a need to just get the cash. So even if, the things that were meant to keep you safe, and maybe they've worked to some degree, but when the margin call comes due, you gotta get it from somewhere.
And Northern Crops Marketing and Investments President Brad Paulson says calmer heads will eventually prevail.
One of the big Wall Street firms was talking at 2450 on the S&P, and that's still about 300 points down here in the S&P. We're down 131 today, so that didn't help matters either. But I would say, eventually this will come to pass like a lot of other health fears in the past has.
And we saw a build in the energy supplies yesterday, which also continues to pressure the market.
We did see a fairly big build in crude, so we're down $1.66 in crude oil and down a penny or two in the products. There was a pretty good draw of gasoline and diesel fuel, as they've gotten quite cheap here. So I think demand is maybe picking up for the products. But again, there's a 6 to 7 million barrel build in crude oil.
And China is the tiger in the room at the Northern Commodity Transportation Conference. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Kara Hart reports.
One of the key markets for crops grown in the Northern Plains was China. In 2018, the trade war disrupted the supply chain to the Pacific Northwest. NDSU Extension crops economist and marketing specialist Frain Olson says that supply chain may look different moving forward.
China is buying more soybeans from Brazil. Brazil's got a monster crop this year. They will buy U.S. soybeans. They're going to make sure that Brazil doesn't get too cocky. So if they start prices get too high, they'll come back to the U.S. and buy some U.S. beans. So I do think they will buy from the U.S. But I think it's going to take several years before the volume of soybean sales into China get to the levels we saw pre-tariff or pre-trade war. China has bought very little U.S. corn for quite a few years. 2013-14 marketing year was the last time they really bought substantial amounts. Mm-hmm. But now with this trade agreement, we've tried to normalize that. We've tried to fix that problem, which will then open the door for more, I believe, more corn sales into the Chinese market.
China was a focus during a grain elevator trade issues panel this morning at the Northern and Commodity Transportation Conference. The panel moderator, Bays & Associates President John Bays.
For soybeans here in this region to really collapse. And so we're trying to get back to developing alternate demand markets for soybeans out of the PNW. And we know that right now the coronavirus is really distorting things.
Maple River Grain and Agronomy Manager Alex Richards says the coronavirus is definitely making an impact on the markets.
Markets at times we see grain futures markets kind of react up and down pretty wildly at times. Just trying to sort it all out. It creates volatility. Sometimes that creates opportunity. Sometimes it doesn't. But there's definitely some impacts. And I mean, the way this is going and all the national stories and international stories, I think there'll be some point in time that most of us will be affected one way or another in this coronavirus.
Bays asked a question about China's demand for corn and ethanol moving forward.
Things look like they're pretty simple in China. They're not. It's a very complex situation. They got so many different interests, and they've got so many problems right now with coronavirus and a lot of other things. So maybe it's one of those things, just stand back and watch, and you'll find out what China's going to do, because beforehand it's pretty hard to predict.
Reporting Agriculture's Business from the Northern Commodity Transportation Conference in Bloomington, Minnesota, I'm Kara Hart for the Red River Farm Network.
And for more information from the Red River Farm Network, visit Facebook and Twitter. You can also find stories, podcasts, and more, and it's all at rrfn.com. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Thursday farm news on the Red River Farm Network. The National Weather Service office in Grand Forks' latest spring flood outlook continues to call for moderate to major flooding for the Red River Basin, which is unchanged from their previous forecast and very similar to last year. Meteorologist Greg Gus says soil moisture remains relatively high, which will impact spring runoff.
General, the flow in these rivers, and currently those that are at high levels but frozen over now, are again at the 90th or greater, and in a lot of cases the 99th percentile for flow. So those first two ingredients, again, the fall moisture in the base, stream flow very high, and highest leading into this winter and into the spring snowmelt.
And Gus says due to a cooler forecast here coming up, the forecast for the flood risk also gets pushed back further into April.
The spring thaw cycle, the heavy spring rains, that's something that looms on us now. Since we are not expecting our temperature regime to get our spring flood going here in the next week or two, we are now pushing our risk later and later into the season, so we start becoming more susceptible to that risk of a heavy spring rain as we get into April.
USDA is surveying producers twice this month. First on the 2020 planting intentions, second on hogs and pigs inventories. The National Ag Statistics Service Crops Branch Chief Lance Honig says there are a couple of the agency's most important reports.
The March Ag Survey, obviously a crop-based survey, gives us really the first look at what farmers are thinking about planting this upcoming crop season. Now, obviously, we think about March, it's really early in the season. In fact, in most parts of the country, farmers haven't even been in the fields yet, much less planted crops. But everyone benefits from knowing what those early thoughts are. As we look at the hog and pig survey in March, this is a survey that we do each quarter because we know we need to measure what these inventory levels look like throughout the year. March gives us an opportunity to get a look at that at this point in the year, but also looking at those upcoming farrowing and pig crop intentions.
Honig says USDA has made significant updates to the survey process.
all sample operations are going to receive a survey form in the mail, and that's going to give them an opportunity to fill it out, send it back in the mail at their convenience. But along with that, when they get that form, also enclosed is going to be information that gives them the details they need to go and complete that survey securely online. Again, another great opportunity to kind of do it at their convenience. We've made some significant enhancements to that process, so you can now actually do it on your smartphone or on your tablet.
And farmers who haven't completed the survey will receive either a follow-up call or a personal visit. The results of the quarterly hogs and pigs report will be released March 26th, followed by the prospective plantings report on March 31st. Major weather models continue to call for a couple of weeks of wet weather for Argentina following an already wet couple of days for the southern two-thirds of the country, which should help replenish some soil moisture from dry weather experienced earlier this growing season. Argentina's Rosario Grains Exchange lowering their soybean estimate by 3.5 million tons to 51.5 million following more than 3 weeks of hot, dry weather. The exchange did not change corn production from its earlier estimates. USDA's weekly export sales report for the week ending March 5th showed net corn sales of 1.5 million metric tons, 91% more than the previous week, 53% more than the four-week average. Sales for new crop marketing year reporting at 128,000 tons. Soybean sales are reported at a marketing year low at 303,000 tons, 12% less than the previous week, 34% below the four-week average. New crop sales totaled 1,400 tons. Net wheat sales reported at 452,000 tons. That's 17% below the previous week, 6% less than the four-week average. Beef sales in this morning's report at 17,700 tons. That's 38% more than the previous week, 11% more than the four-week average. Beef sales primarily going to Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, Mexico, and Hong Kong. Beef exports were down 2% from the previous week at 16,200 tons. Primary destinations, Japan, South Korea, Mexico, Taiwan, and Canada. Pork exports, a dismal year low with net cancellations of 26,000 tons. Pork exports, though, reported at a marketing year high of 44,500 tons. Primary exports to China, Mexico, Japan, South Korea, and Canada. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Day two of the International Sugar Beet Institute continues through 3 o'clock this afternoon at the Alaris Center in Grand Forks. Institute board member and Sugar Beet Grower Magazine editor Mike Speaker says beet growers appear to be looking forward to spring.
Obviously, things are still really wet. We need a dry spring to get things going here, but everybody's gearing up, ready to get going for spring, and it's been actually a really positive attitude.
Speaker says so far, the snow melt has been nearly ideal.
Yeah, it really has, and just went south to Morris, Minnesota last weekend, and there's a lot of soil showing out down there, and so hopefully, you know, ground starts warming up, we can get some of that snow melt coming more north and get these guys out in the field. But yeah, so far it's been a perfect melt, I would say.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz has released an outline of his supplemental budget this morning. The budget proposal focuses on funding to help Minnesotans deal with the coronavirus. It replenishes the budget reserve and prepares for natural disasters. The supplemental bill also addresses issues close to agriculture, recommending funds to enhance farm and rural mental health support programs and funds to help prevent farm accidents. Checking markets before we leave you this noon hour. May wheat Minneapolis is down 2.25 at 509.75. July is down 1.75 at 521. Chicago May wheat's down 5.5 at 507.25. Kansas City down 2.5 at 433. May corn down 8.75 at 365.75. December corn's down 5.75 at 371.25. May beans are down 14.5 at 858.75. November beans down 16.25 at 870.5. In Winnipeg, May canola down 7.30 a metric ton at 452.80 Canadian. Cattle markets remain locked, limit lower. April live cattle at $100.07. April feeders at 119.02. April lean hogs at 60.87. On the farm calendar, the North Dakota Agri-Women meet on Saturday. It'll be at the Ag Country Farm Credit Services Building in Grand Forks. That starts at 9:30 in the morning. And then next week, sharpen your soybean trading and marketing skills at the the 16th and 17th. Again, that'll be at NDSU's Berry Hall Trading Room and at Bismarck State College, both happening at the same time with telecommunications links. The North Dakota Soybean Producers Soybean Trading and Risk Management Seminar, again, gets underway at 9 a.m. both days. And next week, the NDSU sugar beet planter test stand will be at the Steve Williams Farm on the 16th and Manoman at the Evergreen Implement. This is the Red River Farm Network.